Reading this morning comes from the book of Acts, just to remind you that during these Sundays following Easter, many of our readings will be coming from the stories of Acts. And this morning we are reading a story from the third chapter of Acts, verses 12 through 19. And is that what you already read? I have my scriptures flip-flopped here. So you already heard that, yes. But I do want to give you a little context on that reading. That was my intent here. And that is that reading takes place immediately after James and John have healed a man. And that's why the people are standing around in disbelief. But we're also reading from the Gospel of Luke this morning. And we do need to be reminded that most biblical scholars think that these two books of the Bible are written by the same author, and that Acts is just a continuation of the Luke story. And so what we have in our reading from Luke this morning are some foreshadowings of what we've just heard in the reading in Acts. So from the 24th chapter of Luke, beginning at verse 36, we read this story from the day that the empty tomb was discovered. Jesus himself stood among them and said to them, "Peace be with you." They were startled and terrified and thought that they were seeing a ghost. And he said to them, "Why are you frightened? And why do doubts arise in your hearts? Look at my hands and my feet. See that it is I myself. Touch me and see. For a ghost does not have flesh and bones as you see that I have." And when he had said this, he showed them his hands and his feet. While in their joy, they were disbelieving and still wondering. And he said to them, "Have you anything here to eat?" And they gave him a piece of broiled fish, and he took it and ate it in their presence. Then he said to them, "These are my words that I spoke to you while I was still with you, that everything written about me in the law of Moses, the prophets, and the Psalms must be fulfilled." Then he opened their minds to understand the scriptures. And he said to them, "Thus it is written that the Messiah is to suffer and to rise from the dead on the third day, and that repentance and forgiveness of sins is to be proclaimed in his name to all nations, beginning from Jerusalem. You are witnesses of these things. For the word in creation, for the word in scripture, and for the word within us, thanks be to God." Peter, Peter, pumpkin eater, had a wife and couldn't keep her. He put her in a pumpkin shell, and there he kept her very well. Peter, Peter, pumpkin eater, had another and didn't love her. Peter learned to read and spell, and then he loved her very well. You know, sometimes these old nursery rhymes, when read within a current context, are pretty dark. As a matter of fact, this one is perhaps one of the most misogynistic of the nursery rhymes. Peter. Oh, Peter. After reading and hearing the Acts this morning, I just want to put my arms around Peter and say, bless your heart, Peter. Peter, impetuous, proud, eager to please, ready to protect, quick to deny. This is Peter. So many times in the gospel stories, Peter is the disciple that gets it wrong, or at least not quite right. Jesus is continually correcting him for his rash responses and his actions. And in these early stories of Acts, one nearly wishes that Jesus were there to tone down Peter's rhetoric a bit. To put his arm around him and just say, chill, Peter. There seems to be a good bit of angry scolding in Peter's early proclamations of the gospel. Did you catch that in that Acts reading? He's a little like the Peter of the nursery rhyme who wants to control and rule his wife. Peter wants to control the message. And before giving the people of Jerusalem the good news that Jesus said, this is what you are to share, repentance and forgiveness, he just has to make sure that they know what no good, rotten, low-down people they are for crucifying Jesus. He just has to make sure they know that. But at least he gives them some benefit of the doubt with that one little phrase where he says, I know you acted out of ignorance, as did your rulers. And he does eventually get to the basic message that Jesus taught, a message of repentance and forgiveness. And when we go back to this morning's lesson in Luke, as I previously mentioned, we see Jesus with the disciples. And after all the narrative about Jesus and his hands and his wounds and eating fish, after all of that, the real message of this passage is stated by Jesus himself. He says, repentance and forgiveness of sins is to be proclaimed in his, the Messiah's, name to all nations, beginning from Jerusalem. You are witnesses of these things. Now see, Peter gets all that turned around a little bit. He says, we were witnesses of you killing Jesus. Not we were witnesses of repentance and forgiveness. Granted, they are beginning in Jerusalem. But see, this is what Peter does eventually. But there again, he has more emphasis on the repentance part than he does the forgiveness part. In these early stories of Acts, as Peter and John go about together, healing and proclaiming, which is what Jesus also told them to do, one wishes that Peter had let John do more of the proclaiming. If so, they might not have gotten put in jail as much. Just an interesting but related side note on this. If we explore the history of the development of the faith in the early church, well, we discover that Western Christianity basically took on the rational, judgmental, reactionary personality of Peter. After all, he did become the first pope of the church. through tradition. But Eastern Christianity, Celtic Christianity, Coptic Christianity, other equally viable traditions embrace the more metaphorical, compassionate, and mystical John. We can see those differences even today. But regardless of the style of Peter and John, what's going on here is the earliest expression by Jesus' disciples, by the ones he taught, of healing, repentance. And let us remind ourselves, repentance is changing our perspective, changing our hearts, and forgiveness. And this is where we can take this story and bring it into our lives today. And this is where I would like to briefly explore within the context of healing, repentance, and forgiveness what this might mean for us as we enter Earth Week. Earth Day is this coming Thursday. And we have begun to celebrate Earth Week primarily for educational purposes, so that schools can spend time every year around Earth Day and spend more than just one day concentrating on what it means to care for this planet. This week, this year's theme for Earth Week is Together We Can Restore Our Earth. First, I'd like to dispense with the notion that the earth is ours. Humans are not here to own the earth. We are here to take care of it while we live on it. So we must first recognize that the earth is not ours. And ask ourselves the questions, what would it look like? What would it look like to view creation care from the perspective of healing, repentance, and forgiveness? Many ecologists, naturalists, and climatologists who have already changed their perspective, who have already repented, say that it is time for us to shift attention toward the part of creation that seems to be needing change the most. The part of creation that is the most problematic, and that is humanity. There's a quote attributed to several people that has come to us that goes something like this: if all the insects were to disappear from the earth, within 50 years, all life on earth would end. If all human beings disappeared from earth, within 50 years, all forms of life would flourish. Now, that's a little overstated, because the truth is that if any broad segment of creation ceases, then the balance and harmony of creation are upset. And the more segments of creation that do cease to exist, the more dangerous it is to all of creation. But we humans have a particular place here in this wonderful, wonderful experience We've worked so hard at saving the earth. We've got so many save the fill in the blank, save the earth, save the whales, save the mountaintops, the seals. But we spend very little time on saving ourselves. You know, I was thinking about addressing Earth Day and Earth Week this morning. And in many instances, in my mind, there was an incongruity, which is, how are we going to save the environment if we can't even save ourselves? We look around our world today and we are embroiled in anger and fear and violence all over this world, from every corner. Every time we pick up a paper, turn on our computer, turn on the television set, someone else has been shot by another person. It's usually one class of people trying to put harm and oppression on another class. In our country, it's white supremacy trying to desperately hold on to control, just like these two Peters, the pumpkin eater and the apostle, trying to hold on to control. It's all around us. How can we address saving the earth when we can't even begin to deal with how we treat one another? And please don't hear it when I say that it's not important to save the earth. Yes, it is. This is one of, if not the primary theological purpose of humanity, is to care for creation. Now let's extend that a little bit, and we are part of creation. We need to take care of ourselves and our neighbors. And we can clean rivers and oceans and air till the cows come home, but unless we do some house cleaning in our own souls, it is all for naught. Because we are the caretakers. Now, maybe for some people, forcing ourselves into a proactive creation care is the path toward personal change. But regardless of which comes first, human repentance, change of perspective and attitude is essential. And then perhaps the care of creation becomes the fruit of forgiveness. Once we change our perspective, we can begin to forgive. We can begin to forgive ourselves. We can begin to forgive our ancestors. We can begin to forgive past and present abuses of creation and reach out to our only home and begin a process of healing, both within us and around us. Remember, we must first begin in Jerusalem. Extend that just a little bit and say you have to begin in yourself, and then with others, and then it grows, this forgiveness. and healing. But it all goes back to repentance. I'm really interested in the last verse of that little nursery rhyme. The one that I had not ever heard it until I looked it up. Peter, Peter, pumpkin eater, had another and didn't love her. Peter learned to read and spell, and then he loved her very well. Peter began to treat his wife better through education, through learning, through becoming aware, through eliminating his ignorance. Do you remember Peter says, I know that you may have been ignorant and your leader's ignorant. That is so true of us. There's so much that we are learning today, we can no longer rely on the excuse of ignorance. And we must begin to treat each other and all of creation very well. The gospel is good news. And the primary good news of the gospel is healing, repentance, and forgiveness. Not only for humanity, but the eternal presence of God embracing all of creation. So as we go into this week of Earth Week, and as we celebrate and commemorate Earth Day on Thursday, let repentance begin. Let change begin. As we understand caring for the earth also means caring for each other. Amen. It was about this time a year ago, maybe a little later, maybe a year from a month from now, but in the general time, a year ago, when much of our country and much of the world had begun to realize that we were in a serious pandemic. And this was a time when people were willing, some more begrudgingly than others, but it was a time when we were willing to step back, to isolate ourselves, to wear our mask, to not get out as often as we normally did, to do things like grocery shopping for an entire week or 2 weeks. And in this process, there was far less traffic. There was far less emission of carbon fuel fumes in the atmosphere. There was less use of waterways. And what happened was the air began to get clearer. Waterways cleaned up. And in many cases, the animals that lived in these habitats began to thrive. Now, I'm not suggesting that we all go back to those days. Please don't get me wrong. But what we had was a glimpse, maybe a teachable moment, if we pay attention, so that we could say, how could we begin to live differently? How can we change? How can we begin to forgive ourselves and our lifestyles in order to experience healing? Healing on a global scale. That's a question to take with us into Earth Week. Amen.